ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। निगमकल्पतरुर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखतमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबता भगवतं रसमलयं मुहुरकोरसिकाबुभिबुक्कः मुखं करोति वच्चलं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतरणं परमानन्दमाधवं तं श्रीमत्कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं यस्यानुकम्पया श्वापि महाब्धि सन्तरित्सुकां श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 1st, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, text number 13. Bhavaya, Nashaya, Cha, Karma, Kartum, Shokaya, Mohaya, Sada, Bayaya, Sukaya, Dukkaya, Cha, Dehayogam, Avyakta, Dishtam, Janata, Anga, Date, Bhavaya Nashaya Chakarma Kartum, Shokaya Mokaya Sadabhayaya, Sukaya Dukkaya Chadeha Yogam, Avyakta Dishtam Janatanga Date. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Bhavaya, for birth. Nashaya, for death. Cha, also. Karma, activity. Kartum, to do. Shokaya, for bereavement. Mohaya, for illusion. Sada, always. Bayaya, for fear. Sukaya, for happiness. Dukaya, for distress. Cha, also. Deha yogam, connection with a material body. Avyakta, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dishtam, directed. Janata, the living entities. Anga, O Priyavrata, Date, accept. My dear Priyavrata, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities accept different types of bodies for birth and death. Activity, lamentation, illusion, fear of future dangers, and happiness and distress. If you like to repeat it, My dear Priyavrata, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities accept different types of bodies for birth and death, activity, lamentation, illusion, fear of future dangers, and happiness and distress. Purport. Every living entity who has come to this material world has come here for material enjoyment. But according to his own karma activities, he must accept a certain type of body given to him by material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakrite kriyamanani unai karmani sarvajaha. Everything is being done by Prakriti, material nature, under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Modern scientists do not know why there are varieties of bodies in 8,400,000 forms. The fact is that all these bodies are ordained for the living entities by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the living entities' desires. He gives the living entities freedom to act as they like. But on the other hand, they must accept a body according to the reactions of their activities. Thus, there are different types of bodies. Some living entities have short durations of life, whereas others live for fantastic durations. Every one of them, however, from Brahma down to the end, acts according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is sitting in everyone's heart, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham ridhisannivishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It is not a fact, however, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives direction to certain living entities in one way and other living entities in another way. The truth is that every living entity has a certain desire, and the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to fulfill it. The best course, therefore, is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act according to his desire. One who does so is liberated. Bhavaya nashaya chakarma kartum shokaya mohaya sadabhayaya sukaya dukaya chadeha yogam avyaktadishtam yanatangadate. My dear Priyavrata, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities accept different types of bodies for birth and death, activity, lamentation, illusion, fear of future dangers, and happiness of distress. So we see how poetic is the Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't know Sanskrit, we're not Sanskritists, but we can see how even talking about material things, fear, lamentation, birth, death, is doing it in such a poetic way. Babaya nashaya chakarma kartum shokaya mohaya sadapayaya sukaya dukaya chadeha yogam avyaktadishtam janatangadate. The Bhagavatam is composed in a very poetic way. And the message is even more poetic because it is not possible to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full. How is it possible to glorify the Supreme Lord fully? Unless it is done through metaphors, through poetry, through comparisons. Like, for example, we read in Kunti's prayers that Krishna's limbs, the limbs of his transcendental body, are compared to lotuses. His lotus feet, his lotus navel, his lotus glands, his lotus eyes. Actually, these are metaphors to give us an idea how beautiful the transcendental unlimited forms are. The Bhagavatam describes divine form. Sometimes we think that spiritual must mean formless, because the idea is that in the present context, in the present condition of life, we see that everything that has form is material, right? Isn't it? We see the material body, so that's a form, material form. We see a car, that's a material form. We see a tree, it's a material form. We see a computer, it's a material form. And all these forms produce, in one way or other, produce certain amount of suffering. Isn't it? We have a material body, and through the material body, we enjoy, or we try to enjoy, right? By eating, by sleeping, by mating, by defending, we do not really enjoy, but we try to avoid suffering by defending ourselves. Right? When someone attacks us in one way or another, we try to do something to counteract the attack, right? To avoid the suffering. But the other side of the coin, this is the nature of material existence, the other side of the coin is that there is suffering. The price we have to pay for enjoyment is to suffer. This is the nature of this world, the world of duality. And therefore we see that spiritualists in the West, sorry, in the East especially, but also in the West, spiritualists tend to transcend duality. They target to go beyond the world of duality. Happiness and distress, heat and cold, beautiful and ugliness, right? So all these dualities are external. And they say that the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also in all the Eastern traditions, we see, even we find in Buddhism, for example, going beyond duality. Even in the Bible we find that. When Adam and Eve, when they eat from the prohibited fruit, anyone remembers what was the name of the tree? I know it in Spanish. I may not be fully accurate in English, but you can help me, those of you who read the Bible. Lucy, she's... Yes, very good. Yes? Yes. The tree of good and evil. Of knowledge of good and evil. That more precisely. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, and that's the prohibited, in one way we could say, we can, our explanation like this will be a Vaishnava explanation to the Genesis in the Bible, is that the eating of the of that prohibited fruit, it's the entering of the soul into the material world. When the soul decides to enter and to get to know good and bad, happiness and distress. Before that, it is described that Adam and Eve, they were in the paradise. They were naked and they didn't even notice they were naked. This is how it is described. That indicates they were completely pure. Like we have the analogy of Shukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is an analogy. Shukadeva Goswami, I mean, it's a fact. Shukadeva Goswami was walking naked, but also there is the metaphorical meaning that he was so pure that even though he was so beautiful, he was naked. Everyone was looking at him. He didn't even notice. He was completely absorbed in divine bliss, his connection with the transcendental world, his connection with Krishna, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Adam and Eve, when they ate from that tree, and the material world is compared to a tree also in Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 15, isn't it? What type of tree is the material world compared to in Bhagavad Gita? A banyan tree, good. But upside down, it's not. It's a banyan tree, but it's upside down. Srila Prabhupada explains in commenting to the beginning of this chapter 15 of the Gita that actually upside down means that the material world is a reflection from the spiritual world. It's a reflection of the divine world where everything is full of transcendental divine experience. It's very difficult to put it into words. How will convey the divine experience with words? Unless we taste it, we cannot experience it. Like someone may come and tell us how it is the taste. Imagine someone who never tasted honey. How will you describe the taste of honey for someone who never tasted it? You can describe it's sweet, you can, it's whatever, but how can you describe it? You can use words, but unless the person tastes it, cannot experience. And this is a material experience. What to speak of divine experience? The experience of the self. The experience of the self in touch with the divine self, with the supreme self, with the supreme personality of Godhead. So in this verse, let's go back to the context, what's happening. Like here, who is speaking this verse? Who started to speak, actually it was yesterday. Yesterday, actually two verses, day before yesterday. Brahma, yes, very good. Brahma, the creator of the universe. He was described as Bhagavan. Even though we read in other parts of the Vedas, of the Shastras, that Brahma, generally the creator, the Gunavatara, who creates the material universe, is generally a jiva. It's a soul like us, but highly realized. Very, very advanced soul. Even though he is a jiva, he is given the name Bhagavan because he is very powerful. He is very powerful. He is practically omniscient. He is aware of what's happening in every corner of the universe. So Brahma is speaking to Priyavrata, and Brahma is giving instructions to Priyavrata to convince him to accept the inheritance of the throne that his father, Svayambhuva Manu, is about to abandon. Svayambhuva Manu wants to retire in order to practice spiritual life in his later stage of life. That's the tradition, what we call the Vedic tradition. It's a tradition of wisdom. When the body starts deteriorating, before it is too late, one should prepare himself for the final test. The final test is death. So Svayambhuva Manu is about to retire, and Priyavrata, he doesn't want to accept the throne because he has a spiritual master who is a very powerful monk, a very, very powerful devotee of the Lord, and he's a staunch monk. And he told him, do not waste time. Basically, he gave him spiritual instruction. Priyavrata was experiencing so much divine bliss that he didn't feel the need to become involved in material, material can be spiritual also, but he didn't want to get involved in the activities of this world, family, society, material friendship, and so on. But Brahma now is instructing Priyavrata that actually you cannot avoid your destiny. This is what Brahma is telling in today's verse to Priyavrata. First he told him, you have to accept higher authority, who is his son. Another moon is the guru of Priyavrata. So Brahma is both grandfather and also a spiritual grandfather. He's both. So he's actually grandfather and param guru. So really they're putting pressure on Priyavrata. Isn't it? Sometimes someone comes and asks us to do a service, and then for some reason we give an explanation why we don't want to do that service. But then a higher authority comes and tells us we should do the service and give us reasons why we should do the service. What do we do when this thing happens? It is not so easy to refuse, is it? Maybe we Westerners, we don't care so much. I don't care. Sometimes we may have that mentality. But generally, if one wants to please those who are showing us the path, this is the way of advancing in spiritual life, pleasing those who are ahead. Even in material life, if you go to the university, for example, you are doing your PhD, one thing you never do is challenging your supervisor. Even in the secular world, like, everything, but you never challenge the supervisor. Because if you challenge him or her, you are doomed. Finish. He's the supervisor, he's the guru, the academic guru, and you follow. Otherwise, he will be displeased, and he will find all the ways to smash your ego, or my ego. But this is something we don't do. And this is for material things. What to speak of for spiritual purposes, where the element of divine satisfaction is very important. This is a very important principle. Divine satisfaction. Divine satisfaction means that we please the Lord, we please God, and we please those who represent God. And then when we please them, we naturally feel pleased. This is divine satisfaction. We forget about ourselves, we give to others, and then we receive more than we give. But what is paradoxical is that when we give hoping to receive something, we do not get. When we give in a selfless attitude, then we get. This is the divine arrangement. And this is actually the tree of life. Going back to the Genesis, later on says that God, Yahweh or Jehovah, he says, he's talking to some, he's not alone, some people are with him, must be devotees or his servants. He's talking to them and he say, if they eat the tree of, if they eat from the tree of life, they will become immortal. So that's again, when the conditioned soul eats from the tree of life, of divine life, then becomes immortal, becomes a liberated soul. And this eating from the tree of life is performed, or it is done, by bhakti, by bhakti yoga, by devotional service to the Lord. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying, serving, doing pilgrimage, serving the devotees, seeing Krishna as a friend, and surrendering everything unto Krishna. And this is what it is also named as the process of surrender. Srila Prabhupada says, the conclusion in his purport to this verse, anyone remembers what was the conclusion? There was a last statement. I know usually we don't listen too much. We tend not to listen too much to the purport, like this is like something formal, and let us see what the speaker is going to tell us today. But actually the purport is very most important. We are commenting on the verse and the purport. What was the, anyone remembers a little something? What was the conclusion of the purport? Sorry to put you on the spot, but sometimes this helps to keep us awake. My classes, someone told me recently, your lectures are boring. So I said, okay. Then I ask questions. Then at least I keep people awake by asking questions. Okay. Yeah, good. Bhaktin Susan is saying that what she remembered from the purport is that it says that there are many conditions of life, happiness, distress, lamentation, etc., and that we have to go through them. I said, yes, that's good. That's a correct point. There was another point in the conclusion. This was part of the main body, and then Srila Prabhupada concluded something. I will read it. The truth is that every living entity has a certain desire, and the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to fulfill it, referring to the fact that we, by our actions, we create our karma, and then according to the karma, in this life and next life, we have different conditions of life. And then he concludes, the best course, meaning the best course of action, therefore, is to surrender to to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act according to his desire. One who does so is liberated. And actually what the verse is saying is that anyway, we have to act under higher command. We are not free. Our freedom is very small, is minute. So if any way our freedom is minute, better to surrender to he who is the boss, who is the supreme master. It is much wiser, isn't it? Even if we want to say, okay, even if it is something that we do out of selfish interest for the sake of arguing, we shouldn't do it with selfishness because then it doesn't produce the same result. But for the sake of arguing, even if we do it with certain amount of selfishness, it is wise to surrender to he who is greater, to he who is more powerful. It is actually foolish to try to fight the winner. One name of Krishna. Krishna is named Vijay. Vijay Krishna. Sometimes Krishna is named like that. There is a book, it is published now, very dear, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is describing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is entitled Sri Krishna Vijay and describes the victory of Krishna as revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna always wins. And sometimes he plays a game as if he's losing to make it more interesting, but then he wins. There is, for example, in his incarnation as Varahadev, the boar incarnation, the transcendental boar, and he's fighting the powerful Asura Hiranyaksha. One of the two greatest demons or devils of the universe, he's fighting him. And at some point in the fight, Hiranyaksha beats Varahadev, Lord Varahadev's club. And the club starts going around. And he seems he's finished. And then Hiranyaksha, very loudly, he cries, "You are dead." You can imagine. And he's a big demon, very powerful. And the Lord's mace club, he's without any weapon anymore. So, and then the devas, this creates some intensity in the lila. And the devas, they start praying to the Lord, "Please, do not play with him. Please, finish him off." They're very scared that the Lord may be defeated. But how the Lord, Vijay Krishna, how the eternal winner, how will he be defeated? In this world there are winners, but all the winners are temporary. I remember when I was a child, the boxing world champion, I don't know how you call it in English, heavyweight, you say? Heavyweight, is that heavyweight? Heavyweight. That was Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. Right? Very strong. But he is not anymore the world winner, is he? He's not. Where is he now? So the winners in this world change. But Krishna, he's eternally winner, Vijay Krishna. So it is wise to become a servant, to surrender to Vijay Krishna. Even from the practical, from the material point of view, then we win because we are with the winner. What to speak of Krishna's love and compassion for every soul. That even those who attack him, he gives them mukti, liberation. Those who attack him to kill him, like Hiranyaksha, what happened? I didn't finish telling the Leela. What happened is that after the prayers of the demigods, of the devas, then Lord Varahadev, how he finished him off, he gave a slap here. How do you call this? Ear globe. Thank you. Ear globe, yes. He gave a slap on the ear globe. Can you imagine someone dying by a slap in the ear globe? In the school, sometimes when we wanted to bother another child, or they wanted to bother me as a child, I was not, they will do this. Did you experience that? In Spain, they do that. They don't know if you do it in Belgium or Holland or India. Some of you are from India. In your country, do you do this? It's painful, but you don't die. You get annoyed. So what to speak of a big demon who was terrorizing the universe? Even Varuna Dev, the great, the powerful Deva, he was afraid of him. And when Hiranyaksha came and bowed down before him, he said, "My lord, give me battle, I want to fight you." He paid obeisances. You can imagine what sarcasm. He came paying obeisances, but asking him, "I want to fight you." Can you imagine that? And then Varuna Dev, he said, he was also intelligent. He knew this is a very powerful person and nothing to fight you. I said, no, I'm too old to fight you. You are too strong for me. No need. You don't need to show how strong you are. You just, once when I was a child, I was walking on the street and there was one boy who wanted to fight me. I was going with my younger brother. And he came and he wanted to fight me. And then he asked me, I could see he was strong. And he wanted to show how powerful he was. He said, "How old are you?" I said, "My God, this is going to give me trouble." So it's not very Brahminical. I don't say you should do that, but this is what they did. I was a child. I'm sorry about that. I think I was 9. I said, "I'm 7. I was scared of the guy because I thought if I tell him I'm younger, he will say, what's the point of fighting this little guy? And actually, he didn't fight me. It worked, the strategy. But if I would have said, "I'm 9, then he wanted to fight and he wanted to show, "I want to defeat a boy of 9 years old." He was, I don't know how old he was. I didn't ask him. But what I saw, he was determined to fight. So, anyway, so in the case of Varuna Dev, he said, "I'm too old to fight you." So such a powerful asura, Hiranyaksha, being killed by a little slap on the ear globe. Can you imagine? But this is the power of the Lord, Vijay Krishna. So better to surrender unto he who always wins. And there are different ways of surrender. It's a broad topic, I don't want to make it too long. But one last point is that there are different ways of surrender. One way is voluntary surrender. We surrender because we are happy. To surrender to someone that when he kills an enemy, he gives him moksha. What the yogis and jnanis search for, those who fight him and who are killed by him, attain. And this is his compassion, his love. So, why not to surrender to such a merciful master? That he gave the position of mother to a demoness, Putana, who came to kill him when he was manifesting as a little baby, baby Krishna. She came with poison on her breast. And Krishna, he killed her by sucking her life, not just the poison, but her life. But he gave her the position of mother in the spiritual world. He saw, she's coming to feed me. He didn't take into account the poison. So Uddhava says, where are we going to find a better master than him? There is no such a master anywhere else. He always wins. He is full of love and compassion even for his enemies. And he always finds ways to save his devotees. So that's better, the direct way of surrendering. But if we don't want the direct way, then we have the indirect way through material energy, through the laws of material nature. And then we have to experience what is described in this verse. Bhavaya, nashaya, birth and death, karma, kartum, actions in this world, good actions, bad actions, shokaya, lamentation, mohaya, illusion, bhayaya, fear, sukaya, happiness, dukkaya, distress, chadeha yogam. This is the predicament of those who are linked to a material body. And Prabhupada concludes saying, but when we surrender voluntarily, then we become liberated. So it is much wiser and much natural, much more natural, completely natural actually, absolutely natural, to surrender voluntarily. And this is the meaning of this verse. We should surrender voluntarily. And Brahma is appealing to the higher intelligence of Maharaj Priyavrata to convince him to perform his seva, his duty, his service. Thank you very much for your kind listening. If you'd like to ask any questions or make comments, so you, what's the meaning? What's the purpose of the metaphor? What do okay, good. So therefore, I guess the metaphor is, therefore we should listen constantly so we can remember. Isn't it? Good. One reason why I decided to teach a scripture is because then I remember more. That's my my method. By teaching, by serving as a teacher, then I can remember better. Because we learn what, in order to properly teach, we need to learn it. So it helps us to fix the attention. So, of course, that doesn't mean everybody has to become a teacher, but it means that according to our own capacity, we should share whatever we learn in a spiritual life, whatever we learn from hearing or reading a scripture, we should share it with others. And when we have to share it, then naturally we remember. We remember actually for the others. and that brings us back to our natural condition. Our natural condition is to serve Krishna and to serve Krishna's parts and parcels, to serve others. When we do it to serve, then it's easier to do it. I'm sure there are many more methods. Blessing given by whom? To whom? Sandipani Muni to Krishna. Yeah. Good. Very good point, yeah. So that's actually, it's like the envy of God. A snake, sometimes a snake is compared to an envious person, so it's the envy, like this, the idea, I can become like God. We are like God, but we are not God. We are like God in quality, but not in quantity. Mark? You mean what type of liberation they attain? Sometimes it is said that they attain Sayujya Mukti, which is merging with the divine light of Krishna, with the Brahma Jyoti, which is the liberation aspired by Jnanis and Yogis, Brahmavadis. Sometimes it is mentioned that, but we find many examples that they even attain other types of liberation in Vaikuntha. So the fact is that they attain a very glorious condition, a condition beyond duality. And this is actually the mercy of Krishna. And sometimes people do not understand, how is it that there is killing, how God can kill someone? And they say, when they read Bhagavatam, but actually we should see, like I say, if God is impartial, how come that he is blessing his devotees, he's saving his devotees, like we see in the picture over there, he's saving the devotee, and he's killing the asuras, the non-devotees, the enemies. But actually the proof that he's impartial is that he gives moksha even to the asuras that he kills. So even killing, even the worst thing one can do in this world, when performed by God, becomes beneficial, becomes glorious. And this is revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Is that okay? Ultimately, in Bhagavad Gita, we find in the verse Brahmanohi Pratishtaham Sukhasyai Kantikasya Cha. It says that those who attain Brahman realization, which is the liberated condition of life, that's the foundation for bhakti, for devotional service. So ultimately, they attain, in due course of time, devotional service. This is described also in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Atmarama verse. last, actually there were many hands. Okay, one, two, and three, and then we will end. Certainly, yes. That's His mercy. Liberation means be free from the five enemies: lust, anger, greed, envy, etc. Yes. Yes, actually, Krishna's killing is like embracing. There is no difference. Krishna's killing, Krishna's embrace, is Krishna's divine action. There is no duality. Okay, one and two, last. It can be both, actually. One is, we should take our share of responsibility to listen attentively. Sometimes we do not remember because we don't listen carefully, and therefore, how we are going to remember if we didn't listen, if we were thinking of what am I going to eat for breakfast while Bhagavatam class, then I cannot remember. But if I pay attention and still I do not remember, ultimately the power to remember and forgetfulness, Krishna says, are coming from me, Krishna says. And when we forget something, we can pray to Krishna. If we need to remember something, Krishna, please help me. And usually we just stop endeavoring and let Krishna bring it back. And usually He does, isn't it? That's my experience. We just stop trying to remember. I try to remember. Just let Krishna bring it. If we knew it, it will come by Krishna's mercy. I mean, you are talking about this particular case of Jai Vijay, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. That was part of Krishna's plan. So He killed them, and then they were destined to take three births as demons and then get liberation. That was the plan. That was the deal. It was a deal. So in order to play the role as demons, Krishna in that particular case gave them the anger and the envy to continue as demons in the three different leelas. Yeah? We don't really know. I mean, Srila Prabhupada, I have never found, and maybe I need to do some research, but I have never found in Srila Prabhupada's books a detailed explanation of what happens with the after the demons attain that position of Sayujya Mukti, what happened. We hear that there is a tendency from Sayujya Mukti, unless one continues progressing, there is a tendency to come back. But we don't have like a precise explanation that they have to come back for sure. They can also continue. Like we find in Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopa Kumar, he passed by the Brahma Jyoti and he didn't stay there, he continued. The four Kumaras, they reached the level of Brahman realization, they didn't stay there, they continued. they became devotees. But it's true that they may come back. They may come back, and this will give them the opportunity to finish, round up their liberated position by performing some, by associating with devotees. Because in the Brahmajyoti, devotees generally do not stop. Therefore, they may come back to associate with devotees and then go back, come back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. This is what I can say. But if there are any references, I don't remember there is, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on that. Maybe in Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas there is more details which I have not studied. It could be. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.